Looking at the Gospel of Mark this morning, beginning in chapter 7, and I'm reading verses 1 through 8, and then we'll move to 14 and 15 and verses 21 to 23. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they've poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions that they've clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups and pitchers and kettles and even dining couches. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples follow the age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "Listen, or all of you, listen," he said, "and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. For from within," verse 21, "out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this word, and I pray that you will open our ears and open my lips, Lord, for your word. Challenge us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. There's something that as our men meet on a weekly basis and have done for almost decades. Okay, it's been a long time. If you went down and looked at some of the coffee mugs that are down there, you would actually see 10 to 12 years worth of coffee smudge in some of those coffee mugs. Because what I was told is that if you wash out your coffee mug, if you really scrub it inside, that it messes up the flavor. Exactly. Exactly. Now, these guys will wash the outside of their mugs, and they'll wash off, you know, where the coffee dripped down the front. Some do, I guess. But there's supposed to be some added flavor or something when those little flecks of things and the scum floats to the top of the hot coffee that's been poured in there. It's supposed to make your coffee better. I don't know about that. I haven't become convinced personally, but you'll see some really, some coffee mugs down there, all right? In our text today, Jesus kind of refers to this washing out of things and what makes something clean. And here's what was happening. Jesus was getting a lot of people following him at this point of time in his ministry. More and more people were following him, and there was a lot of talk about this Rabbi Jesus. Rabbi meaning teacher, Jesus. And so some of the other rabbis, some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, wanted to get an idea of what this Jesus was teaching. You know, because if in your faith, if you have someone who is teaching within your faith, and they're kind of drawing people there, you want to know what's going on. You know, we pastors sometimes do this too. But these religious leaders were wanting to find out what Jesus was teaching. You know, so they decided to follow him around, and that's why they were often there in the crowd. They were listening. They were trying to get a sense of what Jesus, if he was really the kind of rabbi with whom they could agree. And so they noticed something, and say they said to Jesus, they said, "We've observed some things that concern us, Jesus, about your teaching." And he says, first of all, they talked about this ceremonial washing of cups and washing of your hands and washing of things. They said, "You know, we noticed that you don't teach your followers, your disciples, that they're supposed to wash their hands before they eat. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, okay? This washing of hands and washing of cups and washing of things had nothing to do with what I'm concerned with, coffee mugs downstairs, as far as hygiene and cleanliness. This, as a matter of fact, I was talking with someone this past week, and we realized that you know, back 2,000 years ago, hygiene was not really an issue with people, okay? You know, they lived in some pretty awful, filthy situations, and they seemed okay with that in a lot of ways. But so this wasn't really about, you know, making sure that the germs were all gone. This had to do with you wash these things out in a ceremonial type of way, because then the sin would be washed away from it. It would make you holy. Okay, so if this cup was, you know, since I'm going to be eating from this cup, it needs to be a holy cup. And even if I got some food from the market, that food, I'm sure, has sin on it because there are sinful people who touch it. And so I need to wash it off to make it clean before I even put it into my then clean cup because I've washed it. And if I'm going to recline, I want to make sure that the bench that I'm laying down on, there have probably been some sinners sitting on there, so I need to make sure it's clean too of all the unholiness. And so that's what this is really all about. And that was part of the whole idea of the ceremonial washing. Now, this is not found in the laws, okay, in Scripture. These are man-made type of rules and rituals they're holding to, but they've held to them for generations. And so they're saying, Jesus, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, okay? So, and Jesus responds in such a way that he kind of gets right to the point, pointing out that these traditions sometimes overshadow God's laws. And these traditions are not important. If God is telling you something, then you need to do what God's telling you to do, as opposed to what you think is the tradition or what you've determined at some point is what you're going to do, okay? And so Jesus goes on to point out, and in some of the verses that are missing from our text, Jesus talks specifically about, he gives one example. He says, you know, you say that, you know, you're supposed to honor, Moses' law says, honor your father and mother. He says, but then you have this money that you have received and you decide you're going to give it to God. And you've decided that if you give it to God, then you can't use it for anything else. Okay. And there's a term, korban, that's used there. And he says, you decide that that's what it is. Now, your parents, some of your parents are in need. They need to be taken care of. But you say, I can't give these resources to you, mom and dad, because I've already given them to God. And now they're holy. And so I can't give them to you for your use. And Jesus says, wouldn't it be better to honor your mother and your father before you hold to this tradition that you've made, that this offering that you've given is holy and now untouchable by anyone else? And so Jesus uses some kind of harsh words with them as he gives this example. And the fact is that, you know, we sometimes will do that, and Teresa even mentions a little bit about that. We have our traditions, we have our rituals, and many of them are man-made types of things, but we must never allow them to be more important or to trump what God is commanding us to do. That's what Jesus is talking about here. All right. Then Jesus goes on to talk about the source of evil. Where does it come from? We like to blame others for the evil around us in our world, and even for the things that we do. Okay? We don't like to take responsibility too often. And so it's kind of nice to say, well, you know, I would have done the right thing, but, you know, I was in such a situation, and with all the pressure, I just gave in. I just couldn't help myself. Or, you know, some of you remember Flip Wilson. That was decades ago, or a generation or so ago, or two or three. Yeah, Geraldine was the one, okay, and said, the devil made me do it, right? And usually it was something, you know, she would buy something or do something that someone would be giving her a hard time about and said, well, the devil made me do it, all right. Well, sometimes we like to blame the devil for the things that we have done. And we want to blame someone and have someone to blame in order to maybe be released from some of the responsibility ourselves. Okay, Jesus goes on to point out that this is not the way it works. All right, that there's a, and he gives this list of evil kinds of things. He said, evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. These vile things, these sinful kinds of things, that they actually originate in our hearts. That's where they come from. They originate in our hearts. There's not someone else that's causing us to be that way. Oh, there may be circumstances and things and experiences that have influenced the way that we think and the way that we feel about things and other people. And they influence our behaviors too. But these things are in us. They're in us. The devil doesn't have to work hard to make us sin. Right? Sometimes we say, oh man, you know, the devil's, he's just really been on me today. You know, I've wanted to do the right things, but I did this and the fact is that that's in our hearts already, okay? All the devil can do is sometimes put something in front of us that kind of reminds us what we really want in our hearts. These evil desires, all right? Listen to what Luke 6, verse 45 says. The good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And out of the overflow of his heart, we behave too. Okay? That's my addition. The fact is that these things are in our hearts. There's a teaching that says, you know, there's a spirit of lust, and there's a spirit of greed, and there's a spirit of this sin, and there's a spirit of that sin, a spirit of pride, and spirit of arrogance. Okay, and I hear this, right? And as you look into the Word of God, we don't see anything about that. We don't see those spirits of sin that are always kind of nagging at us and forcing us to do things. Because what happens is when we say, we're basically saying here, the devil did make me do that. I didn't really have any choice. It's that spirit of lust that I have, or it's that spirit of greed that's always... If that spirit would leave, then I'd be okay. No, because your heart is still with you. Okay? What is in our hearts is what comes out. So, unfortunately, that leaves us in a kind of difficult situation. Because now we don't really have anyone at all to blame. We are sinful on the inside. We're not all sinful on the inside. There is good in us too. But we have these sinful desires that are in us. And there are some who say, well, you know, that's the way I am. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. That's the way I've been made or created. Or there is good news, folks. Right? We're not left just to simply be as we are when it comes to these sinful things that are in our hearts. Okay. Sounds like what we need is something to be changed, right? In us. Our hearts need to be changed. Here's the thing. Scripture talks a lot about coming to God in humility and confessing our sins and saying, this is something that's in me. As opposed to blaming someone else and saying, boy, they bring out the worst in me. To say, this is what's in me. And confessing those sins. And it takes humility to do that. Because if we say, you know, in our arrogance and our pride, we're going to blame someone else. But when it really comes down to it, we have to recognize the fact that these sins and these desires and these evil things are in us. And so we humble ourselves. And before God and sometimes before other people, we confess our sins. And then we're called to go a different direction, to repent. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, to the sinful things of this world, but instead be transformed by a change, by a renewing in our minds. Okay. Then we'll be able to kind of see what God's will is for us. But we need to be transformed. We need to be changed in our minds. And so when it comes to coming to God, we come in confession and humility and confessing our sins and then turning from those sins. So that's the one thing that we can do. All right? Now, we're not left by ourselves on this, of course. Because, like I said, what really has to change is what's in us. And so, what we need to do is bring this out into the light. Okay? So instead of trying to hide our thoughts, sinful thoughts, and our sinful attitudes that we have, trying to hide them before God and maybe even others, we're encouraged to confess them, to bring them into the light where we can allow God to and the body of Christ to help us, to change our hearts. I love this psalm, Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. The psalmist says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Okay, when I kind of kept these sins to myself, my bones wasted away all day and night. Your hand was heavy upon me, this feeling, this conviction. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. And then we sigh. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And what did God do? He forgave me of my sin and guilt. All right? The burdens are lifted. They're Calvary, right? That's where we find the freedom. And so we find ourselves in this confession, coming to the Lord, bringing these sins into the light, and then God can work at them and He can shape us and He can say, you know, you think that this is the problem, but here's really where the heart of the problem is, and it is in the heart. Here's the heart of the problem. And so the work of God's Spirit is then to clean us from the inside out. Cleaning us, going into these various places as that light is shined, and saying, this is something else, the conviction. This is something else that needs to be worked on. This is an attitude that you have. Remember that experience that kind of led to these thoughts? He said, we need to work on those. Maybe he needs a little help from others in those areas. And we find ourselves cleaned out by God's Spirit. And this is a blessing as we do that. So the writer of Hebrews says, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. I love this imagery of the baptism, but it's not just a baptism of the outside, it's a baptism inside too, that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we see that our hearts are then reshaped. Just like a potter works with the clay, our hearts are reshaped and reformed. Not into the image that's already there, but it's shaped into what God wants us to be. Okay, and then if we continue to use that, there's the fire that we're put into, and all of the extra stuff is burned away, the chaff and everything else is gone, and we're left with something, this beautiful work of art that God has created as He cleanses us, as He reshapes us, as He purifies us more and more into the image of Christ. The psalmist says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create that, shape that, make that in me. And renew the steadfast spirit, the faithfulness within me. See, now this is not a one-time type of thing that we have to go through this one thing and then I'm going to be pure. Then I'm going to be, my heart's going to be changed, all right? But we find ourselves often bringing the same thing back to God over and over. And I've heard those who say, you shouldn't have to do that. Because remember, when you confess your sins, then you repent and you don't go back to it. That's the way it should be, right? The fact is that we find ourselves going back to those things time and time again. But as long as we keep it in the light and as we can continue to confess these sins, God continues to reshape and reform and purify us and making us more and more. So we come to a point when those temptations that come our way aren't really even temptations any longer. Because something has changed. Our heart has been changed. As long as we keep giving it back to the one who can change us. So we have to take responsibilities for our sinful attitudes. We have to take our responsibilities for our immorality and our lust and our evil thoughts and our hatred, for our greed and wickedness and pride and slander and foolishness. We have to take responsibility for that because those come from inside of us. There's no one else to blame. Paul writes, and we talked about this just a couple weeks ago, he says, get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every other form of malice. Get rid of these things. Instead, replace them with compassion for one another and forgiveness for one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. We are, what Jesus tells us, is that the way to remove these things is through a change of heart. And that change can only happen when we give our hearts to the one who can really make us clean. That's where it begins. And so we're reminded this morning as we prepare for coming to the table. We're reminded of Jesus' sacrifice. For what he did, the way that he, in love, became a sacrifice for us. We have this reminder of the fact that we needed someone to help us. And Jesus came and helped us. We needed one who would forgive our sins. And Jesus became the one who brings forgiveness. We needed one that would purify us so that we could come before the Father. And Jesus became that one. And so we have this picture even as we come to the table this morning. And this is why we say, Jesus, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Have your way in me. Make me and shape me. Mold me. Make me clean, Lord, inside and out.